Good morning, everyone. Glad to see all your smiling faces. I know we have some folks out of town. So I'm appreciative for you all being here and want to just let Sister Sue Phillips know good morning to you, Sister Sue. She's usually very, very faithful in listening online to both the Bible class and the assembly. And I have heard, Sue, that some things you don't completely understand, since I can't be there with you. I'm speaking to Susan now, and you all get to listen, even those online. I have my phone with me, Sue, so if you want to text a question, I'll try and answer it for you, okay? So you have your opportunity. All right? Brad, do you know who's with Sue today? Any idea?
I am.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Chris is going to be with Sue later on. So, all right. All right, thanks. Pay attention to the question in this week's bulletin. It will have some relevance. Don't check it now, okay? I'm watching all your heads go down like, what? You know, I'm just saying, please take a look at that. If you don't have a bulletin, they're back on the back shelf. And usually if you're here in the morning before we get started, the Wilson boys are real good at handing them out. And if you don't have one, you know, you can go grab one off of the shelf out there by where the little slot is for you to drop your offering in or your tithe, however you want to view that. And again, please don't do it now. Please do it after the class and the break. Listen, I learned a long time ago, if you don't explain things exactly, you will get the wrong result. You know, if you tell your child to go get in the shower, they will go get in the shower. If you don't tell them to turn on the water, they will not turn on the water. They will get out of the shower and they will tell you, I went and got in the shower. And they're not lying. Okay? So, last week we started talking about the pattern, because Moses was told in reference to the tabernacle and the Christian, build it, be careful to build it according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. And that's presented very, very early on in the process of putting together the tabernacle. Okay, so pattern is a big deal. There's a misunderstanding under the new covenant that anybody that would follow something rigidly is law-like. There is a pattern in the New Testament that God wants us to follow. That's why I did Old Testament passages about pattern, and we looked at the New Testament corollary in the Greek, from the Greek word tupto, okay, tupos, like the impress of a die going in. You know, anyone that's ever been around machinery or watched something get stamped and it gets an image in metal or whatever, you'll know what I'm talking about. So God has a pattern. I tell people that it's always been God's intention to present a pattern for you to recognize, so that when it is revealed in the New Testament, you go, okay, there's a pattern the way that He wants this done. And there's principles from the Old Testament that I still need to observe. And I always like to remind the brethren that in the New Testament, in two letters at least, 1 Corinthians 10 twice in two separate verses and Romans 15:4, it is said to the churches, pay attention to what was written in earlier times, for it was written for our example and our instruction. So we don't reject it just because it's Old Testament. Principles are what we're looking for out of that Old Testament. God set forth a pattern and principles for us to understand and clearly understand. We move into the New Testament. When God speaks specifically about something, brethren, there's a reason. And you have no right to change that. Now, we look throughout the religious community and marketplace that likes to call itself Christian today, and there are many godly people in these places. I'm not going to say they're not. But you have leadership in these, you can call it a denomination, or you can just call it an evangelical organization, association, whatever. And they will have issues with what the Scripture says, and they will violate the pattern of the New Testament and say, well, see, God's still revealing that to me. You know, He's still speaking. And I always like to go back and say, Jesus, you know, I have a problem with that. Because Jude himself says, contend for the faith which has been delivered once for all. It sounds to me like God himself, through his inspired spokesperson, Jude, has said there's going to be no changes. Oh, and just in case that isn't right, the writer of the letter of the Hebrews wrote in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, even mañana, tomorrow. So again, I see, the problem is they really don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. So again, I keep telling you all that the most important study you will ever do with anybody, and do not skip this step, even if it's a pastor sitting across from you, I mean this, don't skip the step, go through, show them the Bible's the Word of God. Prove it. Okay? I can tell you a whole lot of pastors do not believe the Bible's the Word of God. Okay, I was raised in a mainline denomination, and they openly stated that, well, you know, that's just an allegory, a plain statement of fact. Adam and Eve were an allegory. You guys know that, right? They never really existed. We were taught that. You think I'm lying? Ask my wife. So I came out of. It's a mainline denomination. That's an undermining of the Word of God. Okay, so the pattern is there. We're supposed to follow it. We talked about the pattern last week, and we're going to look at a couple other things, but why is God so interested in this detail of the tabernacle? Why? You know, why do I have to read through the sacrifices in the book of Leviticus, and my eyes roll in my head, my tongue lolls, and no more? Why? Well, it's a very simple statement that God makes several times in the Old Testament, and we're even going to see one in the New through the Apostle Paul. He does these things, brothers and sisters, to test you to see if you will obey. Now let's just ask this question. When Jesus comes back with his angels in flaming fire dealing out retribution, what groups are going to be judged in a negative fashion? We know one of them. It's real easy, right? Those who do not know God. Right? That's what it says. And those who what? Do not obey the gospel. See, belief is obedience. Those have the same Greek root word. Faith, belief, obey, all have the same root Greek word. Word. Study it. Some time ago, I got the opportunity to do a study on worship, service, faith, and, you know, I really appreciate Mr. Hahn. He, if you want to know who I'm referring to, it's John. Huh? And that's his little surrogate grandsons that call him that. It's just cute as all get out. And if you want to know who those kids are, you can ask Nikki. Good little boys. But Mr. Hahn still talks to me about that, you know, and he uses some of those things. And thank you, John, for reminding me that some of the things I teach actually sink into people's skulls. I'm appreciative of that. And I don't say that to demean anybody. I appreciate it. You know, there's things that I've heard and been taught, brethren, that stick clearly in my... I remember messages by many of you that have been preached. I remember them vividly. You know why? Because I value the Word of God. So, obey. Obey. It was there. The pattern was there. God says to see if you will obey. So, you're going to have references in the book of Exodus. I gave you the manna, see if you would obey. And I gave you the law to test the people, see if you would obey. You read on into the book of Judges, Joshua and Judges primarily, when they come into the land and they're conquering the land. I left people behind in the lands to test the people to see if they would obey. See, so the pattern is put forth and God says, all right, let's see who's going to obey. That's what it's there for. So again, brethren, there's all these things in the Old Testament. You see those principles, and then you see them revealed in the New Testament. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Yes.
Think about texting him a question. But...
You can. I deserve that. Listen, I'm just trying to be good to Sister Sue. Sister Sue, did you hear that? I was mocked. Okay? I'm going to come back to you. You can.
Actually, what you're saying made me think of, like in college, we had in engineering, calculus was like commonly called the weed out classes. So like you put these kids through 2 years of rigorous calculus, and if you can't hack it, you can't go on in engineering. And I was thinking with what you're talking about, the Galatians says the law is our tutor to lead us to Christ. And if people aren't willing to acknowledge the pattern and acknowledge the serious nature of God in these things is what you're talking about, then they're weeded out. They're not the kind of people God's looking for. So just an illustration of what you made me, stuff you were communicating, got rolling in my head.
I knew you were going to open the floodgates.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything, but you think about it too. One of the things that I'm sure we've all encountered is when we talk to people, oh yeah, I know the Bible and blah, 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 and you start pointing out some things and they're like, whoa, that's really cool, and they find it interesting. But one of the things that it does is that once they start to realize that the Bible is actually the Word of God, it starts to pin them down and they can see forward enough to go, well, wait a minute, maybe that voice that I think I'm hearing in my head really isn't God. Or maybe this, what the Scripture says, isn't up to whether I feel like I should believe it or not. Or maybe that hand that moves me in a direction that I think, you know what I mean? It eliminates all that nonsense. And it nails people down. And I think that kind of, I think that's why, one of the reasons why God gives us the patterns, so that we can realize, okay, this is the way that things need to be done. And in the same sense, in the New Testament, we don't have the rigorous patterns of, you know, you have to do this exact thing in the assembly, and you don't have to wash and all that kind of stuff. We don't have the Catholic tradition, I'll just put it that way, that, you know, the Catholics have harnessed, if you will, or taken advantage of. And I guess the whole point of this is that God's always directing us to understanding that this is about the law of liberty. He gives us the patterns to understand what's necessary. He gives us the direction to understand where we're going. And then he gives us the law of liberty in between and says, do these things, and if you do them according to my pattern, you'll succeed, I guess. And so that's why those two things work together. I'm not sure that made any sense at all.
Good to me. Good to me. I appreciate it.
One thing, too, the patterns show a sign of consistency. It goes back to him not being a wishy-washy God. He's consistent in everything he says and does.
I am the Lord, and I do not change. Okay. Thank you. All good stuff. I'm trying to remember if I want to go in 1 Corinthians 2 or if it's 2 Corinthians 2. I could have the wrong chapter here, gang. Hang tight. I think I might. That's what you get for going off of memory, right? Yeah, it's actually 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Sorry. You got that online. You have it on audio that saved. I was wrong. So now all you can reject everything else I say from this point on, right? So, 2 Corinthians 2. Paul, remember that first letter to the Corinthians? Kind of strong, wasn't it? You guys are really messing up. Goes through a list of things. He's like, ugh. Okay? But look at 2 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 9. And this is the apostle speaking. Remember, the church is built upon the foundations of prayer, fellowship, right? Breaking of bread, and the apostles' doctrine. Amen? Acts 2:42. Verse 9. For to this end also I wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. So it still applies, brethren. It still applies, is my point. It's obedience that really matters. So that's one of the reasons why God was so specific in the tabernacle. And so, in the New Testament, where God is specific about things, He's telling you, I'd like it done this way. Where He's not so specific, hey, you got liberty, as Brother Jared was mentioning a moment ago. Okay, you've got liberty to figure things out, and you have an overriding principle that says to the pure, all things are pure. It's what's your intention? What's your motive? You know, it's all about what's in the heart. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? So you're free to do whatever where there's no specific instruction. Okay, there's principles that you have to operate within, don't get me wrong. But where there's no specific instruction, you have freedom to do it the way you want to do it. As long as you don't violate any of those principles. Okay? So that's one of the reasons why God would be so specific to test. Now, why so specific again the detail? Why this pattern of specificity? Well, let's just say this. God is a perfect God. Amen? So He's going to want things done perfectly. So He's going to construct this tabernacle and He's going to say, I want it done perfectly. Don't violate this pattern. So then Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount makes this incredible statement. Now remember, as Christians, the Bible teaches clearly, and the church as a whole, that you are now the tabernacle of God, and that's the terminology used predominantly in reference to the church in the book of Revelation. And I've just given you a hint about your answer for the question next week. All right? Now, tabernacle. So God says, through Jesus Christ, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is not an unusual statement from an ordered, patterned God. You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Think about that. He's putting things together so it'll fit perfectly. And He wants it to be executed perfectly. I'm doing these things to test you to see if you will obey. Okay? Now, again, we cannot do this on our own. No way am I standing here and saying, you do this on your own. It is impossible. Apart from being in Christ, the indwelling Holy Spirit, application of the Word, operating through a clean conscience. It's not possible. So you have to be led by the Spirit. We know that's in Romans. I want you to understand that. But the Scripture, as Mr. Wilson brought out, I think it was in your message last Lord's Day, I think it was, Mr. Wilson, you went to Romans 8, 4, didn't you? 3 and 4. I mean, you read that closely, Romans 8, 4. So Jesus came in the flesh, what? Show it could be done. And it goes on to say the law is going to be fulfilled in who? It doesn't say Jesus in that verse. It says in us who walk by the Spirit. What was the righteous requirement of the law? Perfection. Hey, if you didn't break the law, did you have to offer any kind of sacrifice? That's a big negative. Okay? No, you don't have to. Just some things to think about. Now, the only reason He wanted this thing put together the way He did, and He designed it the way He did, being the great master builder planner, again, proof that the Bible's the Word of God, what do we show people? Ooh, look, there's a pattern, there's a plan. And if you follow this thing through, it ends up exactly the way God said it would end up, with all those prophecies being fulfilled. See? So, He says, I want this thing put together with this specificity, this detail, because this is going to be a portable unit that's going to be taken down and put back up. There's going to be a lot of movement, and there's going to be a lot of rigorous use. Now, what about you, Christian? Boy, you move around a lot, don't you? There's going to be some pretty rigorous use He's going to put you through. If you don't follow His patterns, you're bound to break down. Okay, so just think about it. These are just some things you can run through your head. All right, we see in the Old Testament after the tabernacle gets constructed, temple gets built, and you start reading that Old Testament, you know, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, you'll notice that there's a pattern that the people don't follow. That's what you notice. They don't follow it. There's all kinds of negative things that happen. And then along come a couple of good kings towards the end of the history of the southern kingdom, which was ruled by the Davidic dynasty. Okay, that would be called Judah. It was all Israel in the beginning until, you know, Solomon's son, David's grandbaby, about the third generation, destroys every good business. Right? He comes along. I'm better than my father. I got more power than he had, my little finger than he had in his thigh. Look out. Destroys it, separated Israel, 10 tribes, Judah. Okay. They go off, and immediately Jeroboam, being jealous of the loss of his power, he was, by the way, a type of the Pharisees and Sadducees of Jesus' day. We'll have things, we'll do our way. We'll elevate our traditions above what God commands. Jeroboam did that very thing, brethren. And it was called the sin of Jeroboam that made Israel sin. And it was the setting up of a system of worship and priesthood that was contrary to the pattern put forth under the law of God. They get carried away. By the way, that's intrigue, assassination, trouble, negativity, the whole run of that kingdom. The northern kingdom, just bad all the way through. Get to the southern kingdom, there's a couple of good kings that come along. Some that start good, don't finish so well. Some that start bad, finish okay. But we got two primary kings, Hezekiah and Josiah. Josiah was prophesied by name. The Hezekiah comes along, and these are restorers. They look and they find scrolls and they bring the word of God to these kings. And they go, whoa, we ain't following this thing. We're in big trouble. Honest people, right? They see what the word says. They go, that's what it says. We're going back to it. See, that's the honest heart. Throws all the agendas, all the things they've been thrown at, taught, out the window and says, okay, I'm going to look at the information. I'm going to trust the information because it's the word of God, and I'm going to go with it. I had to do that. Every one of you had to do that. So the good and honest heart is being sifted. Are you going to go with what God says? Will you be tested and will you obey? Or are you following a man? By that I mean other than Jesus Christ. See? All these things are there. God's testing. Testing constantly. You know. Hezekiah, Josiah, restore the people to the pattern. Man, they're spoken of highly. But those are the types of the great people that would come forth. Now, people call it the Great Awakening in the early 1800s in the United States. What it was is we just had religious freedom for the first time in, well, I don't know, 1800 years? In America. And that's why people came to America, to exercise the way they understood, from what they understood, it seems, for the most part, the Word of God. And they wanted to go back to it in some form or another. Now, a lot of them got hung up in some of the traditions that had come in that were present in Europe. So you get guys like Alexander Campbell, Thomas Campbell. You can go down the list of guys. I'm not going to go through that. But these are the guys that say, whoa, 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 whoa. There are guys that started to come back, but they haven't come all the way back. And these are the patterns that the New Testament teaches. Here's the plan of salvation. Wow, the ancient gospel. Oh, the ancient book. We're going to go back to the book and the book alone. None of these man-made creeds. Okay? Out the window they go. Then we're going to go back. Oh, looky here. We got the ancient pattern and the order in the church. And they start to pay attention to the book of Acts and all that. And they go, this is the way it was done. Why did we deviate? What's been the result? My goodness. We have a fractured religious world, all claiming the name of Christ, doing everything differently. And they understood this just can't work. It's crazy. Now, one of the key principles of the tabernacle, if you read through the book of Exodus, brethren, there's going to be something show up over and over, and it's going to be everything is done so that it will be a unit. Unit. Unify. There's all these different little pieces, right? All kinds of them. And they come together and they operate as a what? A unit. So what do we have for discussion in, say, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and other places in the New Testament? Many different members. Uno. Body. You see the typology all the way through here, brother? See, God had all these little details. These are all important. That little socket that held the board, if it wasn't there, that board, that whole wall would ultimately fall. What's the value of you? How do you know that you aren't so important that you might not cause something to fall? See, this is the kind of confidence, too, I want you to understand, God has in each one of you. The Holy Spirit puts you in the body just exactly where you needed to go. Derek, you're just as important as Luke Wilson. I mean that. You are just as important. All right? So, I don't care who you are. You are super important. So understand this stuff. God's trying to communicate this to us. Right? So restores. Hezekiah, Josiah, restores. Derek's son says. Uncle Dave Dunbar. Kathy Simpson. Norma Cleveland. Should I go through the whole list here? Sue Phillips online. Others. Restores. Let's get back to the pattern. Let's quit playing games with God's Word. This is serious business. Now, I enjoy doing this. I don't know about you. I find great joy in doing this. I'm not like, oh, man. I restore the pattern. Man, it says, contend for the faith. It's been delivered once for all. I love to contend for the faith. Now, I'm not combative. I will be if I need to be. But I would rather show people the absolute brilliance of God's plan and the awesome power of His Word, and then say, now this is you. I love it when the light bulb goes off in their head and they go, whoa! That's great. That's why I tell you, if you understand this stuff that we're going through, see that all this was to get to you, pretty soon the Old Testament becomes kind of interesting. Well, let's see what else God had to say about me. Oh, cool. And some of you have come up to me as you've learned some of this stuff over the years. And, hey, I saw this, and if I got this right, is it an go, brother, go, or go, sister, go, right? And I just get out of the way. And I love it when some of you go racing right by me. That's awesome. Awesome. Okay, so pattern. Now, there's also examples of violating the pattern. I talked about Jeroboam. But you got all kinds of guys. God lays out the pattern. Here comes a couple of Aaron's sons. Appear they had a little too much to drink one day. Oh, we can do it our way. You know, they thought they went to work for Burger King. We're going to have it our way. Let's go grab some fire here. And it says they offered strange fire, not strange incense. Pay attention. Well, what does that mean? They were supposed to get the fire for the incense from the altar where the offerings and the sacrifices were made. It says they brought strange fire. See, they brought what was going to fire up the incense by their own doing. So God says, well, we got to cover this one. So you want to offer strange fire? Where there's smoke, there's fire. And comes right out from His presence by fire. Burns them up, and this is amazing. I don't know how this worked. Burns them up, their clothes aren't even singed. But they are fired up. So they went down, down, down in that burning ring of fire. Right? And you can go through. There are example after example. They're just the most easy that I can present. Now, before the church was brought into existence, you have the types of Ezra and Nehemiah that came back and began the restoration process of the nation of Israel after captivity. So you're kind of a foreshadow and a type of us as well. So again, brethren, I'm just trying to see patterns, types, all this stuff. And it was all so God could get to you and tell you what you are and how much you mean to Him. Now, how can you not be excited about showing up at assembly? Honestly, I get to go learn about God's plan and how important I am in this. Now, that's not to make you all high and mighty. It's so that you have the right perspective of how valuable you are to God. He went to great lengths to prove that to you. Let me see. He offered himself in the form of Jesus the Christ. My own brother has told me, I'm not sure I'm worthy. And hey, quit that nonsense. Jesus died for the whole world. That included you. You're worthy. You can pray for my brother. He's in a Bible study right now with Mark Miller up in Missoula. That's where my brother lives. Some of you have met him when he's been down to visit with us. Pray for him. He's loving it, brethren. He's loving it. So, appreciative. Pattern. Very important. Patterns. Very important. Where they're specified, follow. Where they're not so specified, hey, relax a little bit. If your brother and sister isn't doing something exactly the way you would do it, what's their motive? What's their intention? How about a little liberty? Would you guys agree? I don't know about you, man, but I don't want to be judged by somebody because I'm not doing it exactly the way they would do it. I've been with Luke in Bible studies on a few of them, and Luke does things a little bit differently than me. I didn't come out at me and go, you know, Luke, you're not following my pattern. We've got to talk. What? Mark Miller does Bible studies a little differently than I do them, in the way he's done the introduction with my brother. I didn't call him up, Mark, Kevin, what are you doing? See, that's what happens. Everybody, my way or the highway. My way is the Lord's way. Are you sure about that? Absolutely certain? Can you show me in the Scripture that? If you can't, just settle down a little bit. Now, you guys understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying we got licentiousness. I'm just saying easy does it. Okay? You know, not all of us can be like John Hahn and just hammer people. You guys weren't listening. John doesn't hammer people. Does he, Casey?
Oh,
I knew he'd jump in on me. I had to get a little levity, and it was getting too serious. You're all like, guys, I really, really, really appreciate your attention. And this is really valuable stuff. The Old Testament is worth knowing because there's so many principles, patterns, and types that are present for our benefit. That's what makes it so much fun to go back and look at this stuff. And you'll see that it's consistent. Whether it's Old Covenant or New, God still is God. His character is still His character. He still wants things done a certain way. And when He talks that way, just follow it. And let go of it. You know, if He says certain things are supposed to be done in the assembly, are we going to follow it? Well, absolutely, right? Even when it rubs you the wrong way? You know, if you're the cat and you're getting rubbed the wrong way, I'm going to give you Steve Doty advice. Turn the cat around. You know, if it's going against the fur, well, turn around. The problem isn't God. The problem is maybe you're turning the wrong way. Okay? So, remember that. Now, again, the Old Testament has so much in there to say. I want to encourage you guys to go back now as we're going through this tabernacle and the Christian study. Go back and start reading about the construction of the tabernacle. That's going to start roughly Exodus 25. On to the end. About 16 chapters. I just want you to notice one other thing that I don't think I've mentioned so far. The construction of the tabernacle, about 16 chapters in Exodus. It'll be reviewed in Numbers a little bit. Give you more information about how it's moved and all that. How many chapters did God use to talk about physical creation? Parts of two. How many chapters did God use to talk about the tabernacle construction? What's really more important? What's He trying to convey? Where God speaks, we listen. See, E.F. Hutton, many of you that are older, you know that old advertisement that they stole from the Bible. You know, when E.F. Hutton speaks, you know, they'd have kids in the classroom, and well, E.F. Hutton says they'd all quit. Well, in the church, all we should have to do is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, and everybody should go. Right? If you love me, Jesus Christ said, you'll obey my commandments. Amen? Thanks for your attention. We're going to close.